from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Good Friday morning. It's the first day in like 3 days when I walked in here and it wasn't pouring rain outside. Or what was Wednesday, Josh? Looked like Armageddon out there.
Yeah, that was like the beginning of everything. There was lightning and everything with no rain.
Tornadoes.
Yeah.
Not here. A little bit later on. This guy across from me just tells me I'm walking in. I haven't worked in 3 weeks. So he's ready to go.
It was sometime in June the last time that I worked. So,
three golf trips in a row.
Yeah.
That's got to fry you though, doesn't it? As much as work might, or no? Golf is it's said that it's a relaxing sport. Mentally, it is not relaxing.
Not when you're addicted to it. When you're addicted to it, it's not as relaxing as when you're just there for the vibes and for the times. No, I really turned playing 100 holes into playing 100 days, essentially, of golf.
100 days of golf.
That's what it feels like.
That's going to be the new challenge. 100 days of golf.
I could probably get there if I really tried. Yeah, there was a point right after 100 holes from that Thursday to the following Friday. I did 226 holes in 8 days.
226 holes in 8 days. I do believe that's more than I've done the whole year, by the way. Although I'm getting there. You did North Carolina. You did you do like an Erie trip every year, course in Erie, right? And then what was the other one?
A little Boston. Just a quick one.
Boston golf trip a Boston trip that involved golf?
It's a Boston golf trip.
Okay. Boston golf trip.
Yeah, Boston golf trip.
All right. Well, Nate's ready to go. Nate's refreshed.
Well, I would tell you that I'm refreshed, but as you can hear, my voice isn't great. I did some serious levels of karaoke on Tuesday night, so my throat still isn't 100%.
Wait a minute. What is it? It's Friday?
Yeah.
It's Friday. Tuesday night karaoke, and you're still recovering?
I would call it Wednesday morning karaoke, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I'm surprised, actually. By the way, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off until training camp. Nate is in today. Nate will be in a couple days next week as well. And we'll talk plenty of Bills today, because me and Nate, I don't think, have been at these microphones talking about the Bills since the Chiefs playoff game.
Oh, you weren't here for the draft.
I wasn't here for the draft.
So, Chiefs playoff game.
I think Chiefs playoff game. Sweet. We'll bring up some fun memories about that game maybe today. A lot of good stuff today. We'll have a hockey guest at 8 o'clock. We'll have Adam Krautwurst talk some fantasy because it's a Fantasy Friday. And over my dead body, we will get to 10 o'clock without talking about fantasy at least once.
Scott Fishbowl Sunday.
Scott Fishbowl Sunday. Are you in the Scott Fishbowl?
I'm in Scott Fishbowl.
Wow,
are you in Scott Fishbowl?
I'm in Scott Fishbowl for the third year in a row. I'm very excited.
So, yes, this is my first year. I'm
Let's go.
Stoked.
Did you bid on a team once?
Last year.
Okay.
2 years ago. One was at...
Thurman was running the auction, I think.
Yep.
Thurman Thomas was running the auction, and Nate was bidding on a
team,
but I don't think you...
Someone went
nuts.
Someone really went nuts. I think it got to like $300 or $400, and I was like...
Yeah, right, drafting the Scott Fishbowl.
Let's have that dub.
Yeah. All right, awesome. Nate's going to be in the Scott Fishbowl also. So, okay, I'm going to write down. I don't know if we're in the same league, though. There's two leagues drafting
on
the same day.
I'm not sure. I think I'm in Mike Leone's league.
Mike Leone's league. Okay, I think I might be in the other one. So we might be. That's okay. Then we can share our preferences without thinking there's collusion coming.
I also have. So at the same time, this was very controversial. So as you know, with especially like fantasy drafts that you've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
And there are 10, 12 guys. Mm-hmm. It can be hard to find a day that works for everybody to live draft. And we really, this group that I've been doing, it's my high school group. We've been doing it since high school.
Yeah.
So it's my longest standing draft. This is the first year. It's been a redraft league. I had a lot of pushback about converting it to a dynasty because I don't have a lot of redraft leagues.
Uh-huh.
And it's... I can't really describe to you the vibe and how much I look forward to having that redraft league every year.
Yeah,
because I've won the league the last 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just something about being able to sit down and have a full draft.
Yeah.
And not care about how old a guy is.
Right.
What situation he could be in next year. What
if
their
it's
contract
dynasty, like your first pick, like, who do I like more between Ricky Pearsall and Xavier Keon Coleman
and
Xavier Worthy?
And who you're gonna pick, like I had the number two pick in this draft, and it's switching from a redraft to a dynasty. And I don't know what to do with it because
The number two pick.
Justin Jefferson's gonna go one. I'm thinking.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
In Dynasty?
Well, not. Oh, in Dynasty? Okay. In like a redraft league right now, he's going sixth.
Yeah. That
tracks. Because nobody knows what to expect from his quarterback. And
I think Dynasty, his ADP is still like, is one or two.
I
expect him to go one.
Let's see. The guys going above him, this is for this year. Who of these in Dynasty should go ahead of him? Not McCaffrey. Certainly not. Not Tyreek Hill with the age. CeeDee Lamb?
I think his ADP has been like two. He is wide receiver two. His ADP...
Lamb, by the way, Dak's going into the final year of his contract. So,
right.
I mean, what's Dallas going to do?
And he's fighting for money.
Jamar Chase is the other one.
I've landed on two guys that I'm going to take it to.
All right.
Jamar Chase, Bijan Robinson. I feel like Bijan might be a little bit of a reach.
No, for Dynasty running back, he would be the number one guy. Right?
Yes.
Definitely. There was no rookie this year coming in that had any sort of high expectations. Like, we'll see. Jonathan Brooks maybe is going to be great. We'll see. But for the Dynasty format, no, it's Bijan at running back.
I'm thinking two is going to... I'm going to go... I've been doing a lot of mock drafts. But the reason I brought this up is...
Yeah.
We all agreed on Sunday being the day for this draft. And then I got invited to Scott Fishbowl.
Right.
2 days after we agreed,
and you know
how it goes. Like I was like, absolutely, I'm all in. I've been wanting to do Scott Fishbowl. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, I'm like, hey, when did we say the draft was again? I got to put it in my calendar. And buddy's like, you know, the 14th. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, I feel like I've got something on the 14th. And then Louis was like, yeah, the Scott Fishbowl is 14th at noon. And you're like, it's the 14th at noon. So I'm going to be drafting simultaneously
on my laptop
and on my cell phone.
Wow, look at
this. I would say my two most anticipated leagues.
Yeah.
One that's first time transitioning from a redraft to a dynasty, and the other one, which is Scott Fishbowl, which I'm, you know, looking to have a good team and be competitive and potentially win.
Wow.
So
my buddy did that last year, and he accidentally, like, he was getting his two teams confused, so he was like, oh, I already have a quarterback, and he's
that's what I'm
you're
most concerned
very
about.
Very clear about that. I almost feel like
that's why I'm gonna do one on my cell phone and one on my because I don't think I should do both on my laptop.
You were going the direction I was about to, which is I need one not on the same screen.
Right.
I was almost gonna say just bring like a yellow pad of paper and just like write down
there's gonna
like
be
your
some
Scott Fishbowl team. Just write down the write down the roster
because we're doing it live anyways. The first 10 picks are live.
Yep.
So it's not like, you know, I follow along with Sleeper and all that. But yeah, it's I'm anxious about it, but I'm also super excited about like draft season.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things. It's bittersweet because I'm excited about the new dynasty format that we're implementing, but I don't have a redraft league now. So
that's why I have one redraft league that we've been going at it since we were in like middle school.
So you have it's the same as me. It's like
and once
it's
in a while,
vanity draft.
And I do like dynasty more. But
me too.
But like you. That whenever people bring up in our group chat, like, hey, should we switch to Dynasty? I'm very much fighting against it because, like, I need this league to stay redraft because if it doesn't, then I'm going to have to go find another redraft league, and I don't really need to do that.
I think I'm going to have to create
two other redraft leagues.
I think I'm going to have to create one.
Yeah.
But
well, now you've got Fishbowl.
Right.
It's basically redraft.
Good point.
Yeah.
It is a redraft.
Now you've
got
Scott Fishbowl. Scott Fishbowl, by the way, we'll have Adam Krautwurst a little bit later on in the show. He will also be there on Sunday. And we'll mention Fantasy Cares is what Scott Fishbowl, all the proceeds go to. Donating toys for kids that don't have the opportunity to get them around Christmas time. There's a donate button at fantasycares.org or at the Scott Fishbowl website. But we'll talk more about the Scott Fishbowl a little bit later on and do some fantasy there. I'm surprised, by the way, you mentioned like your voice because of karaoke. I was at the Chris Stapleton concert last night.
I'm jealous. I really wanted to go.
He's
forgot about
so
it.
So good.
He's insane.
It's like Sal was there too. With the people over at Roswell invited us, took care of us. Thanks, did a great job. They had their like own little thing going, and so Sal's there, and Sal's like, I've never been to a country concert before. Like this was he and Giannis' first country concert,
I'm
like, this is not though. This like it is a country concert, but this is not like
he's not to me. I don't really
someone getting up
country.
On stage and like yelling about his truck and his boots. You know what I mean?
It's so funny you
like
say
it's
that.
It's almost like bluesy rock to me more than
Chris
Stapleton.
I was going to ask you, like, do you count it as country? I really don't count it as country.
Kind of, I guess. Like, in a way, yes. Like, it's on country music radio, right? Chris
sure.
Stapleton.
Yeah.
So they qualify him as such. But
a lot of things are on country music radio, though.
There's, nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just realized, by the way, just to go back to Scott, I have the number two pick in Scott Fishbowl, too. So I have the...
Second
it's
pick.
Very possible that at the same exact times,
yeah.
I'm going to be having to pick.
Yeah. All right. The number two, right. You're going to have to hope that the number one people take different amounts of time.
Yeah, right. I'm
all
screwed.
Right. We'll see whoever picks number one Fishbowl. We
yes.
can affect that.
Chris Stapleton.
How
good. I saw a video yesterday.
He was awesome.
Transcendent.
He was awesome. There really is something to be said for the artist you go see in a concert where you just don't notice a difference between their live performance and what you would hear just driving in the car. You know what I mean?
That's
like just no auto tune, right? No cleaning it up. I mean, sure, there's probably a little bit of that going on, but have you ever seen an artist where you show up and like, wow, this guy is just the exact same as if I throw on, you know, the music in my car and listen to him there.
Did he sing Dylan Cousins' Goal song?
He did. He opened with it.
Oh.
White Horse. And that's,
wow.
Yeah, of course, he knew. No, I'm just kidding. He did not know that it was Dylan Cousins' Goal song. White Horse.
Great
yeah,
song.
Is the song that he opened with. So, yeah, a lot of fun last night. I think my voice sounds fine.
Yeah, you sound fine.
I try to. This is how I am with Bills games, too. If I'm at a Bills game in the crowd, and I guess broadcast booth, too, but this isn't the mindset there. You know, no one's screaming in the broadcast booth. We could start doing that, I guess, if we really wanted to. Like, on third down, we start yelling behind Chris Brown and Eric Wood. But anyways, I will consciously think about, like, okay, wait, I'm on the air tomorrow. I can't sing along. I can't.
Mm.
If I'm at a Bills game, I can't yell when it's third down. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like
preservation.
Like,
you're thinking about preservation.
Preservation.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still getting the same experience, though. It's tough to not, like, you guess you mumble along a little bit with some of the words, but had a great time last night. Nate's in today. I wanted to open by asking you, because when's the last time? It's been a minute since you've been on the air, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while.
And we're under 2 weeks away from training camp, so we're about to get rocking and rolling. What is, whether it's your buddies or your family or your barber, whoever it is, what's the question you're getting about the Bills the most?
You know, wide receiver. What are you good?
Straight up, it's wide receiver.
Straight up wide receiver. Safety, how much are they going to miss Hyde and Poyer?
Uh-huh.
What's up with that Craig Carton guy? Why is he always so negative about the Bills?
Is he the new Bills hater? I don't know. I've done a very good job, I guess, tuning him out.
Good. Yeah, no, it's... So I was on Matt Parrino's podcast. Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot yesterday, we did a live version of Shout. And we talked a little bit about, like, you know, kind of the state of a Jets fan.
Yeah.
And how this is sort of like, and maybe historically I've lumped in Dolphins fans in this, but like the Dolphins like have a formidable team. Like they've been competitive and they've been the biggest threat for the Bills the last three seasons.
Yeah.
So maybe their Super Bowl isn't July and August anymore. Like their Super Bowl is, can they still be relevant in December?
Are they going to be like us where... When did the Bills... I got to pull up the Bills schedule. When did the Bills play the Chiefs again this year? When the Bills play the Chiefs, that is going to be...
It's like week 6, week 7?
No, week 11. Mm. Week 11 versus Kansas City. If the Bills win that football game, there's going to be a lot of, oh, who cares? Do it in the playoffs, right? Like, to me, the meaning has been stripped away from the Chief game in the regular season, because now it's all about the playoffs.
Totally right.
You've already beaten them three times in a row or twice in a row, whatever it is. You've beaten them in the regular season. You can't prove you can do it in the playoffs. So if you do it in the regular season again, there's going to be a lot of, well, okay, do it in the playoffs. And isn't that going to be the Dolphins this year when it comes to the Bills, or when it comes to maybe anybody? But more so, I think, if they were to beat the Bills. Shouldn't a Dolphins fan, or shouldn't someone that is, you know, talking about the Dolphins think, okay, well, do it in the playoffs? Your whole existence now is about proving you can win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Or the division. I guess the division, too. So maybe for them it's not fully this.
I also think that there's a projection a little bit from Dolphins fans about the Bills and, like, the window being closed for the Bills.
Yep.
Because it feels to me more like their window is also closed. If they're going to count the Bills window being closed, like the idea to the minimizing of the players they lost this year, right? Like, I think that it's probably fair to say most Bills fans have probably underplayed the losses that the Bills have sustained this offseason, right? And largely, I think there's a level of like copium around Stephon Diggs, right? Like, well, he wasn't playing that well, and he didn't want to be here, and the Bills are better without him, right? That's kind of, I don't want to say that's what every Bills fan
thinks.
How many
times have the words, though, addition by subtraction, been said?
And
too many.
I think it's a little disingenuous, and I think it's okay. I think that's just the fandom in people saying, you didn't want to be here, screw him, we don't need him, he wasn't that good anyways. And that is, you can apply that conversation to any player that has ever been good and has left an organization, has been traded, has left in free agency, whatever. It is your coping mechanism, and that's totally fair. And I'm not saying you're a bandwagon fan or a bad fan for it. I'm just saying that's, I think, part of the conversation that if you're looking at yourself in the mirror as a fan about your team, I think that largely the Dolphins have looked at the Bills and said, well, you guys had major losses and we didn't, or at least they believe the guys they lost really weren't big losses. Robert Hunt and Christian Wilkins.
Yeah.
Nobody that the Bills lost went and got paid top of market.
Well, because really none of the Bills players, let's face it, none of them...
They didn't lose prime players.
Were in their primes.
Correct.
And we mentioned how the last time we were on the air was that Chiefs playoff game. How many players that they were missing was an impact player in that Chiefs game? Because, listen, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, all due respect to them, and they're going to be Wall of Famers if there's still a Wall of Fame at the new stadium. They were average safeties last year. They were not their all-pro forms. Jordan Poyer looked like he couldn't tackle running backs in open space anymore. And he did fine, I think, when he did the linebacker packages, right, where he'd get bumped down a little bit. And Hyde, I think, was okay. But they were not playing like all-pro safeties last year at their age. And Tre'Davious White wasn't even on the field for 95% of the season.
Yeah.
So, and you haven't had him on the field consistently for 3 years. So Tre'Davious White's loss, like, okay. Morse, as I mentioned, might be the one, because Morse has been just rock solid at center for so long, and he still was in that Chief playoff game. And then Diggs was I mean, from the first snap, is designed to get him involved in the game, get him engaged in the game, and boom, fumble. Yeah. He's like, Dalton Kincaid swats it out of bounds. He drops the pass on the last drive.
Yeah.
Like, Diggs was, this is the one thing I'll say about Diggs, because that's another thing, like, I get asked a lot about. Like, man, what happened with Diggs? You know, I'll get that question a lot from friends or family or from whoever. Like, what really happened with Diggs? And I think they usually mean more, like, why is he gone?
Yeah.
You know, like, why is he gone? But I will say one thing to the addition by subtraction people. The one thing that you should be arguing on behalf of shouldn't have anything to do with his character or with his locker room presence or with his impact, you know, like, oh, he gets the ball too much. You know, like, I fought with someone earlier in the week that said that Gabe Davis would have been a better player in his Bills career had Stephon Diggs not been here. We all watched the 13 seconds game where Diggs commanded all the attention on one side of the field so that Gabe Davis could cook a guy one-on-one the whole day. Like, Gabe Davis benefited from having Diggs on the other side. Diggs was a psycho competitor, sure, but there's a lot of these former teammates are saying, no, like, he brought the best out in me because he holds people to an incredibly high standard. So I don't think if you're trying to argue addition by subtraction, you shouldn't be arguing about any of that stuff with Diggs, any of the drama. To me, you should be trying to figure out what in the world happened in the last seven games of last year. Why, from the moment Joe Brady, these numbers we had yesterday, why when Joe Brady took over from as offensive coordinator to the end of the season, why did he rank 109th out of 115 receivers in yards per target? Why was Khalil Shakir, by the way, number one in the NFL in that category? Why was Diggs almost at the very bottom? How did that happen?
It was, I think, very curious. And listen, I mean, what I remember about sort of the end of last season going into the playoffs, other than the general level of panic I think a lot of people felt about having to win out in order to make the playoffs and even have a chance at the Chiefs.
Right.
I think because that was so in our clear focus, like, the blinders were on. It was win the next game and holy cow, that Chargers game. And holy cow, like, you kept having these close games against teams you felt you were significantly better than.
Look how good they can run the ball against Dallas, right?
Yeah, like, and it was like, oh, okay, but Dallas was a giant.
But Dallas
paper
couldn't
tiger.
Stop them.
Yeah, and Dallas was paper tiger, it turned out, right? Okay. They weren't really a good team. The conversation about Diggs was kind of this background conversation of what exactly is going on with Diggs. Is it scheme related? Is he injured? Has he lost a step? And I think because there are so many, I think, those questions that they take you in a lot of different directions and they bring you to a bunch of different results or different answers, I think. And I know for me, I don't think Stephon Diggs has necessarily lost a step. I think that there was definitely some level of injury/fatigue.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And I also think I think Joe Brady's scheme...
He was using really him in changed. Weird ways.
Really changed.
Like he. How many times did he throw a screen to Stephon Diggs last year?
Way more than they should have.
And I continue to think it's just not something Diggs has really ever been that great at. I think Curtis Samuel's going to be a better fit for that. Actually,
I like also agree
those
with that.
Those types of plays.
I think so. Shakir's better at it too. But when you have a Diggs, and listen, I think if you want to get to the conversation of because that's how we were using him. We weren't setting Stephon Diggs up for success, therefore we weren't really setting ourselves up for success, and we don't believe that the style of wide receiver Stephon Diggs is now and currently is a fit for us moving forward.
Shouldn't we think, though, if we're to believe that Diggs hasn't lost a step, which, by the way, I somewhat agree with. Matt Harmon, when he profiled Diggs earlier in the offseason with his like success rate on different routes, he still had him as an elite route runner at all the routes that are either intermediate or short. Like all of those, like the out route, comeback route, curl route, slant, flat, screen, even he had him on here, which is interesting because I didn't think he was very good in screens. But all of those, like he had Diggs as an elite wide receiver. And the year before, also true. But the difference was Diggs went from a top level receiver at the deep routes, the deep post, the deep corner, the nine route. 2 years ago, last year, well below average on all of them. Like, what Harmon had was Diggs, he took a step back only in one department, routes down the field.
So were they like, routes that he was running down the field, or the success rate of those routes
down
the field?
His success rate beating his man on those routes.
Okay.
So,
was it a smaller sample size?
That I don't know, because it's by percentage.
I think that's a super interesting question.
It could be, because once Brady showed up, right, how many times was he even running those routes?
And but I'm also of the mind, Joe, that, like, what... I guess I'm supposed to believe, or at least the conversation is one day in late October, early November, Stephon Diggs fell off of a cliff. And I mean, that's what it essentially is that through 9 weeks, he was still a top three receiver, and then he became a bottom five, he was number one receiver in the NFL.
By efficiency, he was horrible.
And yeah. I have to ask the question, and I think everybody wants to ask the question, why? Is it just because all of a sudden he got old?
If you don't want to believe that he lost a big step in the middle of a season, by the way, which would have been weird, shouldn't we be wondering if Joe Brady knows what to do with a number one receiver if he had one? Like, they don't have one right now, which, you know, like, this is not like a here we go, like, how's he going to use blank? They've not traded for Brandon Ayuk. You know, like they've not traded for Devontae Adams. They don't have that guy right now in the building. So it's not really, I guess, a big problem at the moment. But like, okay, well, like we want to talk about trading for Brandon Ayuk still, right? Like he's out here on social media, it seems like every other day, stirring something up between him and the Niners. Should I feel like Joe Brady doesn't know what to do with a Brandon Ayuk because Diggs fell off the cliff when Brady arrived? Diggs last year had 100 yards in five of his first six games.
That's what I'm saying.
He was great last year.
And then
at the
I'm
beginning.
Just supposed to believe one day he woke up and was like, man, I just don't have it like I did last week.
Yeah. Again, like I'm not even sure it matters. If Joe Brady, who when he was in Carolina, like if you look at his big year in 2020, which is also Curtis Samuel's big year, and you look at the three receivers that all were productive. DJ Moore had a big year. Curtis Samuel had his most productive year. Robbie Anderson actually had his most productive season that year as well. But none of the three really stood out over the other. Like, they were all kind of close together. They were all pretty much the same. And I think that's probably what they're trying to build here, which is, hey, I'm going to have three guys that are all really good. Then maybe for them that's Kincaid, and that's going to be Keon Coleman, and it's going to be Curtis Samuel and Shakir. But he's never had like one guy stand out above the rest in his very short career as a play caller, whether it was Carolina or even LSU. Like, he had two number ones in LSU. So, you know, when one guy is getting all the double teams, like, you've got to do better as a play caller and a route designer to be able to get that guy into open space. Even at LSU, he wouldn't have had to do that because no one was out there double teaming Ja'Marr Chase because you had Justin Jefferson on the other side that you had to worry about. 803-0550 is the phone number if you have a thought on this conversation. What is the Bills question that we're getting the most? And I McDermott comes to mind. We talked about him earlier in the week. Diggs here as a conversation, though, for like what happened and Joe Brady's role in it is very interesting to me. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll have some fun today. There's a movie question I want to get in because they're not remaking a movie, but I saw someone ask a question about remaking a movie that I want to tackle at some point. We've got some fantasy in. Adam Krautwurst will be along today. A little bit of hockey as well. And 9 o'clock, Sam Monson. Pro Football Focus is Sam Monson. We're going to have coming up at 9 o'clock. Here's thoughts on the Bills. Timeout here. Back with more and your phone calls at 803-0550. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
It's more so like, look, kid. I mean, they always say, how do you do it? Like, how do you do it? And I always say, the blessing of it is we could afford jackets. You know, like, you could afford a nice jacket. So get you a nice jacket. Make sure you start your car in the morning. And get your butt to practice. You'll be all right.
Deion Dawkins on with Colin Cowherd. Last year, Deion Dawkins, by the way, speaking of starting up the car at training camp, I think he's going to show up on his little mini bike again. The Josh Allen bought him. You ever seen that thing? He has like a mini bike.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it was a Christmas gift, like a smaller motorcycle or something.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear Dawkins, by the way, is like out there on like national media
stuff. He's a good media guy.
Because he is a good media guy. And shouldn't he be more of a household name in the league as an offensive lineman? Like, didn't Jason Kelce prove that he was great in the NFL forever, right? And like us football diehards would have known who he is and known how good he is, right?
Lineman can be fun. Like, you can talk about
lineman. He didn't become a big name until, what, his podcast? And they started jumping through tables, right? And becoming, like, this giant personality.
Are you saying that Deion should start a podcast? Is that what he needs to do to get the recognition that he deserves? Start a podcast?
You know? He's got the Schnow podcast. He's got a name already, kind of.
Right.
So, yes. Maybe that's an idea. You have a big if you're good and you've been good for a long time and you've got a big personality, like, all right, let's go. Let's get you in front of the camera and you're going to become a star in the league. And then you'll make every Pro Bowl even when you're bad later in your career because we don't know who the linemen are. 803-0550 is the phone number. We got off talking about Diggs a little bit and like what happened at the end of last year. So you mentioned like wide receiver though is like the first thing that you're getting asked about. Where are you 2 weeks before training camp with receiver? I have convinced myself that it's not as bad as it could have looked. If you had showed me their current wide receiver depth chart back in February, if you took time machine went back to February and you showed me the receiver depth chart and told me, okay, this is what it's going to look like, I might have started crying. Like, honestly, I don't think I could have hated it more if I went back in time to there. But part of that was Keon Coleman was like my least favorite idea in the draft for them at receiver among the receivers.
Yep.
But now that I've sat with it, now that we've had some smart film guys on that are like, no, Coleman could be a real good player. Don't just hyper focus on the 40 time. Like, there could be a real good player in there. We'll see. And Samuel and his versatility. Like, I've convinced myself it's not as bad as it looks, but I still don't think it's great.
Yeah, I kind of fall into two categories. It's so funny that you sort of mentioned, like, if you were to look back right now, if you were to fast forward in time to say, hey, it's July 12th last year, here's what your wide receiver room is going to look like 2 weeks before training camp starts. I think I agree. I think I'd be an absolute, I'd be finding the panic button. But I think enough time has passed for the dust to settle, still not fully know what their plan is. And I said this yesterday on Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot's podcast, is that last year, I don't think you fully knew what the off, especially with the change in offensive coordinator, obviously that plays a big part in this, but it, you didn't really know who the go-to player was in this offense until like midway through December last year, when it felt like it started to become James Cook and a little bit of Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir. But I think if you look at a season in quarters, like you would look at a football game, a lot of change happened for the Bills last year. It needed to happen. They needed to evolve because what they were to start the year wasn't good enough, especially offensively, right? Like, it just was too boom or bust. It was either a 90-yard touchdown or it felt like you were, you know, trying to play in quicksand, right? Like, they just, they did not, even though they were, like, number one in the league in first down conversion and third down conversions, like, they still had all the metrics that would indicate to you they were an elite offense, but it wasn't translating to scoring points. And, you know, I think about the Tampa game, and I think about the Giants game, and the Denver game, and these, and the, even late in the season with Joe Brady as offensive coordinator, the Chargers game, these are games that you feel like the Bills should have been scoring a lot of points, and they were moving the ball all over the field, they were not scoring. So I'm where I am with this offense is I think I would have been really excited about the idea that the Bills decided to swap out Gabriel Davis's role for Keon Coleman and
Curtis Samuel,
and still have Stephon Diggs. I think then you would have taken a room that I had a lot of question marks around how you would get better, and I would have said you got better without Diggs. You know, you do question, like, where does Keon Coleman fit? And I maybe we won't, maybe his fit will look very different in the first quarter of the season than the last quarter of the season. Maybe they're going to find that they're going to start him on the outside on the perimeter, but really his best fitted role and he's best suited in this offense from the slot. Maybe you start the year in a lot of 11 personnel, and by the end of the year, you're like, we can't keep Dawson Knox off the field. We need to find more ways to get creative in 12 personnel because we also can't take Dalton Kincaid off the field. I think they have very interesting... The pecking order to me is what I'm going to be most interested in how it plays out, because is Khalil Shakir going to play on the outside? Because if he's going to be on the field for 80-90% of the snaps, which I think is what's setting up to be, he's going to have to play a lot on the outside. So is Curtis Samuel, by the way.
I think there's more evidence of. There's
I think Curtis Samuel is taking the Diggs role.
I think so, too. Like the Z receiver.
Yes.
I think Samuel is going to be that player.
He's done it.
Like,
yes.
He has been someone that's used in a lot of different ways. So, like, there's not going to be as big a sample size with him as other players of his age, but there's going to be more of one, him succeeding on the outside, than there is of Khalil Shakir. Really, that's a good question about Shakir. Like, I don't think I would bet on him playing 80% of snaps this year right now, because when they do go to 12 personnel, I don't have... Maybe they think there's more to be had there. He is a better athlete than the slot receivers they've had in the past. Like, I mean, definitely more than Cole Beasley, right? Just in terms of, like, yards after catchability and speed, like vertical speed, there's more there with Shakir. But I haven't seen an ability from him in 2 years to play on the outside. Like, he's a slot guy to me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think what you'd like to have happen is if you're going to go play some 12 personnel and you're going to go try to do it the way you did at the beginning of last year, I think it's Samuel and Keon Coleman who are the two receivers on the field. And if it's not Keon Coleman, I'm not even sure after that it's Shakir. Isn't that part of the reason MVS is here? And even Claypool, to a lesser extent, is, well, if Coleman's not fully ready to go at the beginning of the year, maybe there's some mental lapses or something, he's not getting it as quickly as we wanted, then we've got, you could include Mac Hollins in that too. We've got these three veteran outside receivers
that can,
I mean, Claypool, you don't know if he can, you know, hold stable because he's all over the place. But the other two, like, those are proven veteran players that can play on the field, can play on the outside. And maybe they're the ones that are out there. I had this idea to do this next week, and maybe we will. Like, drafting who's going to play the first snap for them this year.
Like, what the...
Who's on the field?
Who the guys go out first?
Yeah, who's on the field their first snap? First snap of the season. Who's not on the field is maybe a better question.
I think...
Is Dawson Knox not on the field?
I think Dawson Knox is on the field. I think it's Knox, Kincaid, Shakir, and Samuel with James Cook.
No Keon Coleman?
No, I don't think so.
Coleman, I think I would go, they're still going to... I want them to be an 11 personnel team.
Me too.
Can they be an 11 personnel team? Do they want to when their backup tight end is paid the way he is with Dawson Knox? I mean, he's not going to not play. They're going to play a lot of 12 personnel.
And I think...
Or maybe their version of 12 personnel will be kind of like 11 personnel where Kincaid is someone that's like lined up in the slot.
In the red receiver, zone, receiver. I think the Bills have... We talked... What I just mentioned a little while ago is how well they moved the ball between the 20s. And I'm not here to tell you they were like, you know, bottom five in red zone percentage. They scored touchdowns when they got near the goal line. But it was converting drives, right? And
yeah.
I think you get inside the 20 now, and I think you have real variance. I think you have a very interesting team when you get inside the 20-yard line. I think I have less questions about this team when they get to the red zone, and I have more about how they're going to move the ball, you know, between the 20s. Like, how are they going to move the ball, how much more of a running team are they going to be? What is James Cook's usage looks like this year? Because you've got Ray Davis now, and you've got Ty Johnson, who I think they liked a lot. They brought back, right? I said this yesterday too. Is I think I'm mostly excited to see what this team looks like when instead of giving the ball to Latavius Murray, that you have more dynamic playmakers. And I'm not here to tell you that I thought Murray was wasting away, but towards the end it became very apparent he shouldn't have been on the field as much as he was, but they leaned on him because he was their only physical back. I think that's Ray Davis now, so the changes, I think that they're really interesting when they get to the red zone because they've got Mac Hollins who can go up and get the ball, obviously Keon Coleman in contested catch situations, you want him in those situations. Kincaid's big. Dawson Knox has proven to be, had been over the last couple of years, their best red zone. I mean, he had 8 touchdowns 2 years ago. So I'm not totally willing in sitting here thinking that, you know, Dawson Knox is going to have a similar season to last year. I think last year the injury didn't help, obviously. The thing that I'm most excited about, obviously, I think a lot of people are excited about Dalton Kincaid, but the shift in his usage under Joe Brady to me was the most promising talking point going into this year, which is he knows how to use Dalton Kincaid. And I think he's going to, obviously we're all sort of this understanding that Kincaid's the number one target in this offense. And I think I agree with that. And what that looks like in an offense that has been largely a passing offense since Josh Allen has been the quarterback.
And largely an 11 personnel receiver heavy offense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm nervous, you know, anxiety, whatever, you know, words you want to use in this situation. I think largely all of this comes as this is the largest. I said this is like getting a new barber. Is everybody here who goes, like, I've had the same barber for 4 years. If my barber up and left today and said I'm moving to Florida, I would feel largely pretty lost. I'd have some anxiety and I'd say, who am I going to find that I trust like my barber? And it's sort of like where the Bills are, is they've got a new barber and you might be, it's not going to be the same haircut as you're used to getting from your old barber. It might be close. He's got a different technique and it might look a little different. Doesn't mean it will be better. It doesn't mean it will be worse. It's just going to be different. And I think that's the unknown of this team is the guys that have moved in and out of the defense, the coaching staff, the changes that this organization has experienced the last couple of years. This is the biggest change offseason we've had under this regime. And the questions that we all have is, we know what they've been with continuity, with consistency. What happens when that variable gets inserted and you're asked to develop new safeties and come up with a new offense and you don't have a number one receiver anymore? So yeah, those questions, I don't know when they'll be answered, but they exist.
We'll probably try to figure out the answers all season.
All season. Really.
803-0550 is the phone number. When we come back, a cheating scandal in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Didn't hear about this.
You might be asking, how does one cheat at the hot dog eating contest? There's an answer to that question because some dude got with a red, white, and blue mohawk got caught. doing it.
Wow.
We'll have that for you when we come back. All right. Last Sunday. No, not last Sunday. 4th of July, right? 4th of July. The Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. The big controversy this year, you would have thought, was Joey Chestnut not being in attendance. And now he's doing like a Netflix special or Netflix eating contest live with, why am I forgetting the guy's name? Kobayashi. So, cheating scandal at the hot dog eating contest. How would you cheat in a hot dog eating contest? How could you even dream of cheating in a hot dog eating contest?
You are addicted to winning. I don't know.
This guy, his name is Nick Weary, who had 40. Yeah, I know, right? Not too far off. 48 hot dogs was his score on July 4th. But as was pointed out by a couple of videos, and then there was a story in the New York Post, which what was the headline? Dirty Dog was the headline for the cheating scandal. How did he cheat, you ask? It had nothing to do with the hot dogs. The person to his right and to his left, he was using, I guess they called it, sleight of hand. And the plates that were underneath the hot dogs that you would grab and then eat the hot dog off of, and then you'd put the plate on the right, as like that's where the stack was, and they would count the plates to see how many hot dogs you ate. He, when no one was noticing, would sleight of hand, grab a plate from the guy next to him and put it on his own pile.
Wow.
So when they went to count the plates at the end of the contest, he had more plates than he actually should have had. He did not win, by the way. He came in fourth.
Even after cheating.
Even after cheating, this guy did not win. But this is how you cheat, I guess, in a hot dog contest.
It sounds like a flawed system.
Yeah.
Is that they count by the plates?
Yeah.
Well, there's so many people eating up there at the same time.
How are you supposed to?
You'd have to have a judge for every contestant.
Right.
If you were just going to watch them eat them and count them one by one, I think.
That tournament lost its luster when they didn't allow Joey Chestnut in. And it's sort of like, it's like watching golf without Tiger Woods a little.
Little bit. In his prime, by the way.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods in his prime, it would be like watching golf without it. Tiger, by the way, I saw turn down the Ryder Cup captaincy.
Did he turn it down?
He turned it down.
Is that okay?
I don't know why.
And they went right to Keegan Bradley.
Oh, is that who they see?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that Tiger turned it down. I didn't even see who they replaced him with. Keegan Bradley?
Yeah.
Ryder Cup next year at Bethpage, by the way.
Oh, I'm going.
I want to go.
I am going.
How? Did I already miss the boat?
No.
Tickets?
No.
No? Okay, good.
No, okay.
Because I want to go to that. Time out here. When we come back, 803-0550 is the phone number. I've got a Bills question that we tackled earlier in the week that I want to get Nate's take on Sean McDermott. I think it's the thing we got the most calls on this week also. So if you want to get involved, be sure to do so. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary's in today. This is WGR.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
No Keon Coleman?
No, I don't think so.
Coleman, I think I would go, they're still going to, I want them to be an 11 personnel team.
Me too.
Can they be an 11 personnel team? Do they want to when their backup tight end is paid the way he is with Dawson Knox? I mean, he's not going to not play. They're going to play a lot of 12 personnel.
And I think,
or maybe their version of 12 personnel will be kind of like 11 personnel where Kincaid is someone that's like lined up in the slot.
In the red zone, I think the Bills have, we talked, what I just mentioned a little while ago is how well they moved the ball between the 20s. And I'm not here to tell you they were like, you know, bottom five in red zone percentage. They scored touchdowns when they got near the goal line. But it was converting drives, right? And
yeah.
I think you get inside the 20 now, and I think you have real variance. I think you have a very interesting team when you get inside the 20-yard line. I think I have less questions about this team when they get to the red zone, and I have more about how they're going to move the ball, you know, between the 20s. Like, how are they going to move the ball? Like, how much more of a running team are they going to be? What is James Cook's usage looks like this year? Because you've got Ray Davis now, and you've got Ty Johnson, who I think they liked a lot. They brought back, right? I said this yesterday too, is I think I'm mostly excited to see what this team looks like when, instead of giving the ball to Latavius Murray, that you have more dynamic playmakers. And I'm not here to tell you that I thought Murray was wasting away, but towards the end it became very apparent he shouldn't have been on the field as much as he was, but they leaned on him because he was their only physical back. I think that's Ray Davis now. So the changes, I think that they're really interesting when they get to the red zone, because they've got Matt Collins who can go up and get the ball, obviously Keon Coleman in contested catch situations, you want him in those situations. Kincaid's big. Dawson Knox has proven to be, had been over the last couple of years, their best red zone. I mean, he had 8 touchdowns 2 years ago. So I'm not totally willing in sitting here thinking that, you know, Dawson Knox is going to have a similar season to last year. I think last year the injury didn't help, obviously. The thing that I'm most excited about, obviously, I think a lot of people are excited about Dalton Kincaid, but the shift in his usage under Joe Brady to me was the most promising talking point going into this year, which is he knows how to use Dalton Kincaid. And I think he's going to, obviously we're all sort of this understanding that Kincaid's the number one target in this offense. And I think I agree with that. And what that looks like in an offense that has been largely a passing offense since Josh Allen has been the quarterback.
And largely an 11 personnel receiver heavy offense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm nervous. You know, anxiety, whatever, you know, words you want to use in this situation. I think largely all of this comes as this is the largest. I said this is like getting a new barber. You, everybody here who goes, like, I've had the same barber for 4 years. If my barber up and left today and said I'm moving to Florida, I would feel largely pretty lost. I'd have some anxiety and I'd say, who am I going to find that I trust like my barber? And it's sort of like where the Bills are, is they've got a new barber. And you might be, it's not going to be the same haircut as you're used to getting from your old barber. It might be close. He's got a different technique and it might look a little different. Doesn't mean it will be better. It doesn't mean it will be worse. It's just going to be different. And I think that's the unknown of this team, is the guys that have moved in and out of the defense, the coaching staff, the changes that this organization has experienced the last couple of years. This is the biggest change offseason we've had under this regime. And the questions that we all have is, we know what they've been with continuity, with consistency. What happens when that variable gets inserted and you're asked to develop new safeties and come up with a new offense and you don't have a number one receiver anymore. So yeah, those questions, I don't know when they'll be answered, but they exist. They definitely exist.
We'll probably be trying to figure out the answers all season.
All season. Really.
803-0550 is the phone number. When we come back, a cheating scandal in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Didn't hear about this.
You might be asking, how does one cheat at the hot dog eating contest? There's an answer to that question because some dude got with a red, white, and blue mohawk got caught doing it.
Wow.
I'll have that for you when we come back. All right, not last Sunday, 4th of July, right? 4th of July, the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. The big controversy this year, you would have thought, was Joey Chestnut not being in attendance. And now he's doing like a Netflix special or Netflix eating contest live with, why am I forgetting the guy's name? Kobayashi. So, cheating scandal at the hot dog eating contest. How would you cheat in a hot dog eating contest? How could you even dream of cheating in a hot dog eating contest?
You are addicted to winning. I don't know.
This guy, his name is Nick Weary, who had 40. Yeah, I know, right? Not too far off. 48 hot dogs was his score on July 4th. But as was pointed out by a couple of videos, and then there was a story in the New York Post, which the headline? Dirty Dog. Was the headline for the cheating scandal. How did he cheat, you ask? It had nothing to do with the hot dogs. The person to his right and to his left, he was using, I guess they called it, sleight of hand. And the plates that were underneath the hot dogs that you would grab and then eat the hot dog off of, and then you'd put the plate on the right, as like that's where the stack was, and they would count the plates to see how many hot dogs you ate. He, when no one was noticing, would... like sleight of hand, grab a plate from the guy next to him and put it on his own pile.
Wow.
So when they went to count the plates at the end of the contest, he had more plates than he actually should have had. He did not win, by the way. He came in fourth.
Even after cheating.
This guy did not win. But this is how you cheat, I guess, in a hot dog contest.
That sounds like a flawed system.
Yeah.
Is that they count by the plates?
Yeah.
Well, there's so many people eating up there at the same time.
How are you supposed to?
You'd have to have a judge for every contestant.
Right.
If you were just going to watch them eat them and count them one by one, I think.
That tournament lost its luster when they didn't allow Joey Chestnut in. And it's sort of like watching golf without Tiger Woods a little.
A little bit. In his prime, by the way.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods in his prime, it would be like watching golf without it. Tiger, by the way, I saw turn down the Ryder Cup captaincy.
Did he turn it down?
He turned it down.
Is that okay?
I don't know why.
And they went right to Keegan Bradley.
Oh, is that who they see?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that Tiger turned it down. I didn't even see who they replaced him with. Keegan Bradley?
Yeah.
Ryder Cup next year at Bethpage, by the way.
Oh, I'm going.
I want to go.
I am going.
How? Did I already miss the boat?
No.
Tickets?
No.
No? Okay, good.
No, okay.
Because I want to go to that. Time out here. When we come back, 803-0550 is the phone number. I've got a Bills question that we tackled earlier in the week that I want to get Nate's take on Sean McDermott. I think it's the thing we got the most calls on this week also. So if you want to get involved, be sure to do so. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary's in today. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the
first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.